Hello, my name's Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's new artwork, One and Other. The date today is the 16th of August 2009 and the time is 6:30 a.m. If I can please ask you to state your full name, your date of birth and where you come from.
My name is Simon Withers. My date of birth is 8th of September 1964 and I come from Nottingham.
Lovely. And how are you today?
I'm very well. Yes, incredibly well. Surprised.
Yes. Surprised because?
Well, surprised because I've come down here with my wife, who is currently occupying the plinth on the 6 o'clock slot, and I was outside taking some photographs of her, quite elated for her, and find myself that a previous person who was due to go on the plinth following Jo hasn't turned up, so I've been asked to fulfil the 7 o'clock slot. So it's a very big surprise to me to find myself in this situation, and a pleasant one.
Mm. Did you think twice when asked?
Not at all. Both my wife and I both registered to apply if there was an opportunity to go on the plinth, and we'd talked about it quite longingly, about the opportunity for us both to follow each other as husband and wife. We previously talked about it in a cafe, as we got to know about the project unfolding, and said, well, it'd be amazing if that happened, not really fully understanding the process that would take place through the random selection. So to find that actually happening is a big surprise to me, it is to Jo.
Yeah.
Amazing, unbelievable.
Yeah. Wonderful. And so you've said yes, and here you are, about to go up on the plinth. Have you any idea how you're going to spend your hour on the plinth?
I don't. I suppose if it would be wrong of me to say I've never thought about it. I come from an arts background. I'm a visual artist. And given some time to think about it, there was various elements that I would consider, is although I'm not naturally a performance artist, performance is included in my work. And that probably could have been a line I would have taken. There was various options that I looked at. One was making everything from paper aeroplanes, which I actually think I understand may have already been done, but was throwing 60 aeroplanes off the plinth at the time. To the idea of doing advertisements for maybe people in Nottingham, like the new Nottingham Contemporary Gallery. I've just recently got the position of being their one of their mascots as a kind of part-time job, and to see if the opportunity could have been to become an international Nottingham Contemporary Zebra on the plinth. Mm. However, all that's been stripped back to me being here without any prompt or prompt. And I'll probably take a similar approach to one that both Jo and I undertook, was to be myself. I'm stripping away some elements of the arts, and I will just try and experience the plinth as myself, my relationship with that. And also maybe the audience, which is Jo, that we, you know, now we can, there's so much within this experience that can share. So I imagine I will stand there. I'll try and avoid using the word just. My action will be standing.
Yeah. You're going to be the person on the plinth today at 7 o'clock. Can I ask you to say a little bit, I'll ask you very openly first of all, to say a little bit about yourself. Who will be the person on the plinth today at 7 o'clock?
The person on the plinth will be Simon Withers. It won't be Simon Withers, the artist. Simon Withers is more introverted than the work he produces and the aspirations for what his work wants to be and what I wish it to be. Much more kind of quiet and much more passive and very competitive. That might come across in the work, but say in some ways that is all stripped away. So I just want to soak in the experience for myself, and I won't know whether there's any outlets within in the work. I've got a little digital camera. I will hand over that at the point, and maybe Jo and I have these personal records of our time together in London on this very day, in a very unusual situation. I think it will be just a very private experience, yeah. And up until now, nobody knows about it. Mm-hmm. So I rather like that. the fact that it is unplanned. And I think it's an interesting test for me is how I cope with that, how I will respond to it. And given the short notice, I don't know, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Would you like to say something about your work? You've described yourself as an artist.
Yes, I'm a multimedia artist. I paint reasonably large, abstract, semi-figurative work. Have intention of doing installation work. I work in cut and folded paper. Some of it is quite experimental work. Something I'm most proud of was a series of drawings called Considering Venus, based on the Rokeby Venus, which is currently in the National Gallery, one of the most famous works. And that involved me placing a sheet of paper quite high up on the wall, doing an observational drawing, but actually having to jump up with the charcoal to undertake the accurate drawing of it. So I'm pleased with that kind of work. So some of it is quite excessive. Some of it might be more accessible, which is the little cutouts I do to do with kind of trees. There's sometimes a sinister edge to some of that. So it's a very broad range of work. Sometimes it involves performance as well within those elements. Mm. Yes. Mm. And scale-wise, sometimes it can be overtly very ambitious to much more modest work.
And what inspires you to be an artist?
I think I've been an artist for over 20 years since officially finished college. If the one thing I do know in some ways, it seems completely inherent within me. I don't quite know where it comes from. There's no great history in the family of creative practice. If anything, it's something that I may have been inspired by when I was a child. I think for me it's quite a modest little story, but I remember myself and some colleagues used to play on a tip, a council tip. It was infilling an old railway embankment, and coming across a book that amongst its pages was a section on contemporary art. So it had work of de Chirico and Francis Bacon, and although I didn't understand what these images were compared to my education, there was a resonance there, and maybe that made sense to me about 2-3 years later when I went to Foundation, undertook art history, would come to London, and began to see some of those images of say work like Francis Bacon, and it made sense. And I think that's what it's done ever since. It just seems inherent and intrinsic, and it doesn't go away, and therefore rightly or wrongly that is what I try and choose to do.
And do you manage to make a living from your art?
It is my intention to make a living. I don't make a living, but I'm a full-time artist. It is what my employment is.
Yeah.
I do try and seek opportunities. I do go for commissions, open exhibitions, both nationally and internationally. I've had very, very modest showing experience. I've been part of well over 100 exhibitions. I do voluntary work and free work for arts organisations in Nottingham. Some exhibitions I've taken to work to places like the Museum of Art and Design in New York. However, it's been very, very lean in the past 3 years, and on a very private level, this is one of the nicest creative experiences I've had in the past 3 years, that is direct correlation between someone like Anthony Gormley is putting this concept forward, and myself as an arts practitioner undertaking that. It helps give me some sense of confidence in my belief as a person who's able to engage within an arts. So I would love it to be a career that had some attainment of success that can be measured as an artist. It's not about fame and celebrity, but was a career path that did make sense, and one could achieve certain artworks in a way that they're conceived, as much as people like Gormley are able to do,
yeah,
and other of his contemporaries.
Yeah. You mentioned that your work does, some of it includes performance.
Yes.
Could you say a little bit more about that?
Sometimes they're actually very private performances. There was a work I undertook which is on a beach. It was along the East Coast, and it was just an hour's duration, and it required me to build sandcastles. So it was the idea of the tide going out ones, going from a central location with a little child's bucket and spade, I fill it and keep on walking down towards the sea as it's in retreat, laying down the castles, which could connect with the idea that maybe they're like homes or dwellings, or they are places, because on the east coast it's very prone to erosion. There's a beautiful concrete seawall to keep the land and the sea separate. And of course there's the idea of effort and workman-like qualities, laying down something, and all that work is undone with the sense of duration. So there's work like that. Another piece I'm currently exploring, which is just using wet clay, and what I do is we'll stand away from a wall and get a handful of clay, throw it against the wall, and there's this relationship and space between myself and the wall. So it's disconnecting the creative process, which is very much like the drawings would do, is taking the bounds of earth and what you operate under as an artist, between the connection between the hand and the brain, and allowing this empty space unfold. So performances actually could be quite subtle. Another one is I'm just exploring, which is using printer ink cartridges, and I set those on a tripod, which is like a scientific one, and simply just blow through an air hole, which I've discovered. So it's about experimentation, it's quite alchemical as well. And I simply blow the ink out onto paper. So there's a randomness. But what I do is always document myself undertaking that. And these are the sense that it's more than the sum of the paper. Mm-hmm. It's everything that else relates to that. Mm-hmm. So that's where the performance elements goes. Some of it is quite, also working a musical collaboration with a project called Seat and Cycle Roots with an accordion player. And we've created a character called Cyril Seaton. And we eventually would like to produce a biography on him and his whole history. And this is an offshoot project where we're influenced by the music of Cyril Seaton. He's born at the kind of cusp of the 20th century. And it's quite folksy, and it's just drums, which is what I play. And some of it's quite avant-garde. And some of it is folk dance tunes of well-known tradition, like things like Shepherd's Hay. So there's that other element of performance as well. And we dress up in almost like cricket whites, knotted hanky, and we tailor-made shirts to each event. So we try and build up a whole history to add to the seat and one as well. So there's collaborative projects as well.
Yeah. So you'd made up a character.
Yes. Cyril Seaton. We don't mind the fact that we say he's made up. If people find their way to it and think he's real, he's native born in Nottingham, went to fight in the First World War, was a conscientious objector, so he kind of deserted, went on the run, met up with Cabaret Voltaire and people like that. So we've got him where he's placed very much within the roots of European avant-garde art. He moves across to America, and he's never mainstream, and he just ends up going to work for Hershey's as a sales person selling chocolate. Sets up in a caravan park on the cusp of when Silicon Valley was going to start, and dies in obscurity. He becomes a lesser artist. He's always on the fringes of the great and the good and the avant-garde. So that shares our interest in history. But it's very much more of a personal history of the man as well that we'll try and build up. And that's really fun because, you know, we can write Seaton letters, poetry. He would have done collage, would have been his strong focus. And eventually go around collecting artifacts. So we'll build up a, you know, a total work of art around Cyril Seaton. And that's just an ongoing process.
Mm. And how come you made a character up to talk to... How do you relate to that, and how did that come about?
Chris and I, we just look for ways of finding common ground between actually two different practices, both as artists, but we share a lot of interest, and some of that is folk music, and Chris's interest in accordion, my interest in folk music. And it came to that. And I say we've got very different practices, but we have an interest in history, and having history is local history. And I think both of us, and I don't think it's uncommon that artists like to recreate that which doesn't exist. I mean, I think the moment in London's Ivan exhibition is still on, or has been, by the Chapman brothers, where I think they created something to do with, I think, as a Russian artist. And I don't know whether the gaff was blown quite earlier on. Then I can't remember which author created a character maybe in the late 80s called Nat Tate, and there was a book came out. And I should imagine throughout whole history there's those things. And it just becomes part of an ongoing dialogue with artists have between, you know, fact and fiction. And maybe even history is if you can't write yourself into history, which is quite right, you can write something else into history. Maybe you can make things live in the way that they might not be living yourself. You can play around with history and you can make up facts and marry the two together, and that's what we find quite interesting. And we would like to do it really well, but we don't want to fool anybody saying that if you come across it, whether it's real or not, it doesn't matter. We're not selling a single line joke that we're trying to fool people. So, you know, it's as much as some of it will come real, and to us it is real. Some people believe it is. And, you know, we're not developing much of a fan base at the moment, but we've got a few people on board who are interested in adding to the history of Seton. So we've got a Seton study group, and they will add things to the Seton story.
And who's Chris, the person that you collaborate with?
Chris Lewis-Jones is an artist I also share a studio with. Is again a fine art practitioner. His work looks at identity, British identity, cultural identity, and very different work than I make. And this just seems to, as I say, cross some of our mutual interests,
mm-hmm.
in text-based work, performance elements as well.
Mm. Wonderful. Do you operate as part of a community? You have a collaborator and you play music together. Is there a wider community that you're part of?
I am, yes. I mean, the network in Nottingham is developing immensely in the past 5 or 6 years. I mean, the increase in students staying in Nottingham, which is largely due to Trent University taking an interest in those. I've been part of the kind of arts community, say, maybe for the best part of 14 years, particularly when I've been actually quite active. And that community is developing and enriching, and the new generation is very savvy about, you know, networking and everything else. Previous generation, which I partly belong to, had a different work approach. However, some of us have got together, and for the past 4 or 5 years, I've formed a project called Nottingham Studios Consortium, which is trying to see about a purpose-built studios for Nottingham that it would take ownership of, maybe on a long lease or we purchase outright. And that is for the good of the community long term, because studio provision, like in any other city, is very precarious. And I've been part of a studio group amongst three others where they've been in the building for 20 years, and at the beginning of this year, the studios disbanded and were removed from the building because the leases were not put up for any new. So it's a very difficult time for maybe 20, 30 artists and some very established groups.
Mm.
However, whatever new hierarchy will unfold, is possibly for the best. However, it does highlight the difficulties there is in Nottingham as much as elsewhere. So I try and take a very active role in that with other projects, and actually just try and be very supportive of other younger studio groups. There's a group called Stand Assembly, who set up maybe 3 or 4 years ago. They have a young gallery attached called Moot. Very energetic. They will do things like the Zoo Art Fair, put on great exhibitions, and very supportive again of a community of artists.
Mm-hmm.
So it is really changing, and it's a very vibrant city now. Probably the best thing for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've spoken a lot now about your work and your current practice. Can I ask you to say a little bit about you, if we could go back to the beginning, and to sort of say where you come from and maybe take me through chronologically,
right,
about your journey.
Okay. Well, I was born in Nottingham. I was born in a place called Nuttall, which is not far from Junction 26 near the M1. My father and mother both worked at the local bakery. I went to the local comprehensive school. No great history of arts and culture. Except my parents used to run the Blanchard Sports and Social Club. So at weekends, used to organise bus trips through Clark's Coaches and take us around the country. And then in the early 70s, of course, it was the great birth, in some ways, for places like Nottingham, the package holiday abroad, through companies like Clarkson's and going on Courtline aeroplanes. And so I was very fortunate that my parents used to organise, and myself and my brother were taken on these trips. And occasionally they would take us, you know, several were to Rome, to Sorrento, Greece. So as a youngster, I'd be taken out of school and we would go on these package trips on coach tours. And I would certainly begin to absorb what I saw, even if I didn't understand it. So there were some seeds set in with, you know, just a natural sense of the place. So as that, just go through ordinary school. Art education was not up to much for what we was doing, and although I went in for O-level art, I didn't succeed. And I think it was just one day after I'd been to a concert with some friends of my brother's. I was walking to school with him and he says, "What are you going to do after you finish school?" And I just said, "I think I want to go to art college." It almost kind of came from nowhere. Maybe this book I'm referring to, which is just a bound copy of Man, Myth and Magic, so it had all manner of interesting imagery in it and symbolism. Maybe that was it, inspired me. So I went to college in Nottingham and thoroughly enjoyed that and went on to do a BTEC. Not the quickest, brightest learner in the world. And along with a colleague of mine, we threw 2 years of O-levels to do photography and art history and to get the required things to then go on and do a BTEC. And then from there, it just seemed a natural progression, even if internally I was very introverted, to go and do a degree. As far as the family is concerned, no one within the family had even contemplated a degree, so it was a complete cultural shift. And my parents were very worried because it was beyond their comprehension. So I went to Sheffield Polytechnic to do fine art. Incredible learning experience, but also one slightly cut short for me, because in my final term, I'd undertaken a beach dig during the Easter of my final year in 1988, which was laying some down trenches on a beach, same beach, it was Sutton-on-Sea on the east coast, and clearly was beginning to cause real damage on my back. So I was convalescing in hospital, went for keyhole surgery, which failed. So I didn't see my old last term, and although they awarded me a degree on the strength of the work I had, I never put up a degree show. It was put up for me. So I was then convalescing for 6 months after that. All connections broke with Sheffield, so I found myself back convalescing at my parents' house. And I've been in Nottingham ever since. It wasn't really what I envisaged. Do I want to escape? I don't think it matters where I work. I have a studio that I can work from. I would love more opportunities outside of Nottingham to exhibit. I would like a career that took my work with audiences and gave me opportunities. Mm. So it's, at the moment, it's delivered much less than my expectation. I think I'm capable of so much more. And at the moment, I think I'm slightly underachieving my ambitions for the work. However, there's been some good opportunities and some quite rewarding experiences. Even though it's about 4 years ago, I was shortlisted for the Gerwood Art Angel commissions with an idea for creating a specific hot air balloon. And I can't remember who got it, but their work's currently in show in London, which is the crystalline piece down near the Elephant and Castle. And so I went to see that yesterday. So I still have these very ambitious projects, and hopefully one day I'm able to realise some of them and new ones as well. Yeah. We'll just see what happens.
Yeah. Very good. You're going to be on the plinth shortly.
Yes.
Would you like to say anything more before we close about your experience today?
I came here, as I say, supporting my wife. As the artist of us both, I was speaking to a colleague of mine several weeks ago, and he says, are you jealous that it's your wife who's been selected? And I says, no, out of both of us, I'm glad it's Jo. I felt that she would bring up a certain experience that I would look for within the complexities of a project like this. So bearing in mind the situation that I find myself, I'm looking forward to going onto this raised platform to be taken to meet Jo eye to eye, and to experience in possibly some of the same ways of I highlighted before, just me and that space for an hour. So in some ways it's stripped a lot of complexity that I might actually bring to it otherwise. And that, if I'm honest, is possibly more true to myself and to that. And my experience of talking to a few of the previous people who've been here and the staff and experiencing how this whole project begins to work for these 2 or 3 hours, it's now great to be involved in it, because one is as a supporter of my wife in that situation, is there was a slight detachment between me and the experience. Now that's completely changed, and I'm in a I find myself in a different relationship to the whole project, and it will only in time unfold. I've enjoyed it immensely. I've enjoyed this day thus far. I see how well everybody works and how well that they work with the staff. I hope ultimately that their experience is also documented as this kind of layering of the whole project, you know, for the future. And I can only take greater interest in the project between now and the future.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.